We're in that time now where Satan can't deceive us, but his disciples, the evil demons, they can. Will it happen when Jesus returns? And so on. There's a lot of things that I just want to tell you. Out of one passage, it's really hard to make a doctrine out of one text. And so there's a lot to wrestle with there. I think at the end of the day, we need to look at the whole big picture to say Jesus has stated he's coming, and when he comes, he's going to win. Are we going to be faithful to the end? And I just want to encourage us to probably not make those doctrines based on one verse. Even so, when the 1,000 years conclude, Jesus defeats the dragon once and for all. And I'm not going to read that for time's sake. I want you to read that in Revelation 20, 7 to 10. But from here, John catches a glimpse of the throne of God. After the final enemies have been destroyed, John is taken right into the throne room of God, where final judgment is made as the Lamb's Book of Life is given to the Lamb so that he can determine once and for all who's been naughty and who's been nice, right? So we check those lists. It's that time of year to check them. And so this is the time where we tell our kids that none of us are good. And so we don't tell our kids the naughty or nice thing. So if you do and your kids are in here, I apologize. We tell our kids in our house, just so you know how crazy we are. We tell them that, look, none of y'all are nice. Y'all been naughty. But in our house, you get presents anyways because Jesus gives his grace even when we're naughty. So please be nice. But hey, we all get grace and love, and it's okay. I want to catch up here in chapter 20, verse 15, and then we'll get into the quick answers of our message today. Verse 15 of Revelation 20, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So I just say that to say we're going to talk about heaven for a minute, but twice we've seen in this text that hell is just as real as heaven. And I know we live in a world that doesn't want to broach that subject or that topic. They just want to say that, you know, we just annihilate, we just disappear in the end, or we get to go on to heaven. Or, you know, God is just so good, he just takes everybody into heaven. And that's really not the image that we see in scriptures, that there is going to be this place. But John gets to see the new heaven and the new earth. And this is where we ask the question that I think when we get to the end of Revelation, this is the most important question we need to ask ourselves when it comes to even the whole premise of this book. From the beginning, what was it that John was trying to share? What was the revelation? From the beginning, he shared what it is. This is to reveal Jesus Christ. That was his goal. And here we get to see the new heaven and the new earth. And so we ask the important question, what makes heaven heaven? Because we all want to go to heaven. I've asked anybody that question, you know, when you die, do you want to go to heaven? I mean, that's a dumb question, right? I mean, that's, of course, the automatic yes. Nobody says, I want to go to hell. Yes, there's some rock stars that sing about the great party that's going to be there, but I don't think that they understand heaven, and I don't think they understand hell. They're just making a cultural joke because culturally we've just decided that this doesn't matter so we can play on it. I don't think they understand what they're saying, and so I'm going to forgive them for that. I still want them to understand heaven, but what makes heaven heaven? Is it the material magnificence that makes heaven heaven? I mean, just being real, anybody have bucket lists? I didn't have one, but I just made one. My wife and I, last year when we celebrated our 14th wedding anniversary, we decided, okay, what are the 36 things that we want to do before our 50th wedding anniversary? You know, sometimes dreaming together and goaling together keeps us together, and so that's something we did. So we have 36 things on our bucket list. Several of them are still blanks that we haven't filled in, but we've got the marks for 36 things on our bucket list, and we started checking some off in the last year. It's been kind of fun to do that and to have a plan so that we can do those things. Some of them are hopeful things, like attending the wedding of our sons. It's on our list because it's something that we hope for them. It's something that we pray for their spouse and things like that. But some of the things on our list, if this isn't on your list, this could be the plus one. Put heaven on your list if it's just for the sights. I mean, you know what the book says about this place, right? Put heaven on your bucket list. Is heaven heaven because of the material magnificence? I mean, read this in chapter 21, verses 9 to 21. This stuff is just too good to make up. Not to mention in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul tells us this. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him, right? So we don't even need to picture it, but then John gets a picture of it, and this is what John's picture says. Then one of the seven angels who'd held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came and spoke with me. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. He then carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, arrayed with God's glory. Her radiance was like a precious jewel, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The city had a massive high wall with 12 gates. 12 angels were at the gates. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel's sons were inscribed on the gates. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west, just like the temple in Israel. The city wall had 12 foundations, and the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb were on the foundations. The one who spoke with me had a golden measuring rod to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city laid out in a square, its length and width are the same. He measured the city with a rod at 12,000 stadia. Its length, width, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits around, to human measurement, which the angel used. The building material of its wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the city wall were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first foundation is jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and if I'm saying these wrong, forgive me. I'm just saying it with confidence. That's all that I do. The 11th is jasper. The 12th amethyst. The 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made of a single pearl. The main street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. You want to see that? I want to see that, but I want to tell you the answer to this question is no. Is heaven heaven because of its material magnificence? No, but it is going to be materially magnificent. It's something to put on your bucket list. But we ask then, okay, if it's not just the man-made grandeur of this city, I mean, it's going to be cooler than New York, right? I mean, pure gold streets, glue pennies onto your shoes and tap on those things, man. That's going to be fun, right? I mean, even if you're too poor to barely get into heaven, you got to put pennies on your soles or your shoes to make tap shoes out of, it's going to be worth it. Copper on gold is going to make some chinking cool sounds. We want to dance those streets, but we got to ask another question. Is it maybe the landscape? If it's not the material magnificence, is it the landscape? Because we get even some of that glimpse, right? It's going to be cool. I mean, we just saw, where does John get to see this image from? From a very tall mountain. Last summer, just so you know how crazy we are, one of our bucket list items, we camped at 10,000 feet elevation so that we could camp near the million-dollar highway that was on our bucket list between Silverton and Durango and Silverton and Monte Vista? Or what was that other town that was just on the other side of Uray that we got on that highway from? But it doesn't matter. The million-dollar highway, check it out. It is a gorgeous highway. The second neatest highway we've ever been on, second only to the Glacier National Park Road. What's that one? Going to the Sun Road. Thank you. I'm glad my wife's in here today to help me out. But I mean, put them on your bucket list. But when you're on the top of these mountains and the things that you can see, it's crazy. But in addition to that, this is what we see in Revelation 22, 1 and 2. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the city's main street. The tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are healing the nations. I just got done reading this very morning in my devotional reading in Ezekiel chapter 47, talking about the trees that bring healing to the nations. And here, a reference to the tree of life. Remember, there were two trees in the middle of the garden. The very reason why Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden was because the tree of life was there, and God could not give us access to eternal life when we were in a state of sin. Otherwise, we would be separated from him forever in our sinfulness. Because of that, he had to stop a way so that he could make a new way for us to get back to the tree of life, flowing through the middle of the streets of heaven, right from his throne. I mean, this is going to be a beautiful river. These are going to be beautiful trees. You're not going to want to miss this landscape, but the landscape isn't enough to make heaven heaven. I'm just going to get right out there and say it. Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. I can't say this in a smart way. This has to be a practical understanding. The number one reason why you should want to go to heaven is to see Jesus. Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. This is what John saw. These are not Jeremiah's ideas. These are not my words. This is what John saw. We go back to chapter 21. As the New Jerusalem comes down, catch, for those of you that remember reading John or Revelation chapter 1 and all of those different things that we could identify Jesus from, we're seeing a lot of them again here. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. Then one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowards, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Jump to verses 22 to 27. He continues, "I did not see a temple in it." Okay? He's talking about a place to worship. In this New Jerusalem, he's looking. There's not a temple. It looks like a place of worship, but there's no temple. Why? "I did not see a temple in it because the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it because the glory of God illuminates it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never close by day, because it will never be night there. They will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those written in the Lamb's book of life." Go to the next chapter and read verses 3 and 4. "And there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." I've done a lot of funerals and grieved with a lot of people who in the midst of that process have made statements like, "I can't wait to see my uncle or my grandparent or my parent or my sibling when I get to heaven." Which I'm not saying we can't see them. If you understand Luke 16 in a practical way, I believe that we can understand and know who people are when we see them in heaven. We will be able to recognize people that we've known on earth that have loved Jesus, that are in heaven. But if that is our primary reason to want to go to heaven, then we have a cheap view of heaven. And I just want to increase your view of heaven today. If that's the only reason you want to get in, that is part of the spoils, that we will get to see loved ones. But the fact that we will get to see our God who loves us, that wants to be in relationship with us. See, anything other than Jesus to be the reason that we want to go to heaven is a cheap view. And it can spoil the real reason to get to heaven. I told you, we kind of know the reasons why when we go by our childhood homes and the campuses that we're alumni of. What's missing? You know what's missing, don't you? I know what's missing. It's the people I went to school there with. It's the fact that in those houses, our family's pictures aren't on the wall. It's not my furniture in that room. Even now when I go to my bedroom that I grew up in my mom's house, it now has a pink and purple comforter thingy on it. That's not my room. Yeah, I might be married, but you know, we got five boys in my house in addition to me. I mean, Megan's learned how to be one of the guys. I mean, bless her heart, pray for Megan. I mean, we don't do pink and purple in our house. What is this? And I'm not saying it's bad to have pink and purple. I'm just saying that's not my room. There's something missing in that room, and there's something about the presence that we expect to be there. And the very presence that's going to make heaven heaven, that nobody is going to be able to miss, is Jesus. He is the thing that makes it spectacular. He is the one that makes it holy and good. See, heaven is heaven because Jesus is there, and he will be our God, and we will be his people when we trust in his life, death, burial, and resurrection as that great saving act. If we fashion any sense of heaven without Jesus, don't miss this. If we fashion any sense of heaven without Jesus, then we're really only dreaming of hell. Because you know what's going to make hell hell? Jesus is not there. Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Hell is hell because Jesus is not there. The source of light, the source of good, the source of love is going to be so strong in heaven, he's not going to allow what he permits on earth. He's not going to allow evil in the presence of evil. He's cast it from his presence eternally so that when we're there, we can be before the Father in a pain-free, worry-free way. In a worshipful, in an understanding, it's going to be grand and beautiful because we're not going to have to worry about the stresses of paying the bills and restoring the relationships and enduring the heartache because of the cancer or because of the grief or because of the loss. Or what it is to age. I mean, I hit 40 and it fell apart, right? Anybody else? This is real, okay? We get older. This is not home. This is why we want to go to heaven. But heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Hell is hell because Jesus is not there. On earth, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, we see in part and we can taste some of the good of what is to come. When we get to heaven, though, the greatest spoils that we'll share will be the very presence of our God who wants to be with you and wants to be with me forever. The bottom line today, I've said it and I'll say it again, heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Hell is hell because Jesus is not there. If you have not heard the gospel clearly, I cannot say it any more clearly than this. Jesus wants to be with you and me forever. The question that I ask today is, do we want to be with him forever? If we do, get to know him. Surrender to him. If you want to know what that looks like, and maybe you just question, I don't know if I'm in a right relationship with Jesus. Let's have that conversation. You owe it to yourself. I want to make sure that heaven's on your bucket list, and I want you to understand that it's not because you're good that you get access to it, but it's because he is good. The band's going to come and send us out in a song. I'm going to pray for us. I hope that you catch out of Revelation. It's really a theme of victory. Hey, church, it might get hard living on this earth, but take heart. The battles are worth fighting. Be faithful to the end. The end where the King, the Alpha and the Omega will be on the throne. And those who conquer alongside of him will get to enjoy the richest of spoils, his very presence, not just for a time, but for the rest of time into eternity. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the reminder that what you did on earth was not just so that we could enjoy you for the rest of our lives on earth, but it's so that you could satisfy our eternal need, our need to be saved from this earth and from ourselves, so that we can be in relationship with you and not just a relationship that ends at death. As we even say in our marriage vows to one another when we get married, till death do us part, or as long as we both shall live. But God, our marriage to you doesn't end. It goes on into eternity. Because you've designed it that way, we don't understand why you would want to be in a relationship with messy people like us. But when we reduce heaven to a simple statement, we know that it's going to be heaven because of your presence. And we're thankful that you want to be with us and that you welcome us into your presence. And so help us to understand what it means to live in a right relationship with you and what it means to respond to that in a way that we want to be holy and good and just, not for our name's sake, but so that we can point more people to that restored relationship with you, Jesus. And if anybody here is wrestling with that, give them wisdom to grab me on the way out today. Thank you that we get to be your family and your church. In Jesus we pray.